again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we pull it out for another ride. The bus is shaking, tires are wobbly, the transmission's failing, but we're still alive and it still is moving forward. Holy cow, can you believe it, DT? I can't believe it. We're almost at the end of the season. How are you, the great one, Doug Tonis?
Not too bad, you know. Those 3 wins in a row really hurt. That wasn't a fun feeling. Just when you thought maybe you could get fourth or fifth, and now all of a sudden you're hoping for seventh. I guess there's some miracle we could still get sixth, but it's not going to happen. And you're hoping you just don't end up at ninth, which is still a legitimate possibility. So we'll see how the last couple games shakes out. Definitely a chance to get the Pelicans pick. That was greatly diminished because the Warriors could not defeat the Pelicans at home. That was also super disappointing. I think had the Warriors won last night, that 14th pick probably would have been ours. I think that would have been the difference. And now probably not going to happen. But, you know, we'll see what happens over the next week.
So let's break it down. I mean, that 3-game winning streak probably ended. Let's assume for a second if we would have lost all 3 of those, what would the most likely low position could have been? I mean, how low could we have gone?
We could have got, I think we would have gotten fourth and a tie for fourth.
Wow. So just those 3 victories. And again, you know, we really haven't touched on this, but I was at the game on Sunday, last Sunday against the Wizards, and the Bulls had, you know, Ryan Archinot in the NBA, Felicio, they had Grant out there, and they outscored the Wizards starters, that bum team, 26-19. You know, at some point, it's frustrating. I think the Bulls made a drastic mistake in not shutting down Markkanen earlier. In their 6 wins, he's been, you know, plus in every game and in the last month, and he's really turned it on. I think shutting him down will hopefully ensure 4 losses, but we shall see. What say you about the what they've done to try to tank here in the past week?
Well, I mean, it is what it is. You know, you've won games with like 5 G leaguers in the lineup for like the entire second half. I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
You've now shut down everyone with the pulse in the team. I mean, I think hopefully they can lose these last couple, but you never know. I mean, everyone on the Bulls is playing for a contract. That last game against the Pistons, that one scares me because the Pistons were hoping for the playoffs. They're just going to be dejected. No one on that team is playing for their contract life, really. And so guys just playing hard could get a win there. But we'll hope for the best. I mean, that's all you can do is hope for 2 more losses. If you get 2, you'll be in 7th place by yourself. Or if Sacramento somehow squeaks out a miracle win, then they would be tied for 6th with Sacramento.
So let's break down the last 3 games that the Bulls have here. So they got the Nets again, and that obviously is a must-lose, right? If they beat the Nets, are we looking good then for at least getting 7?
If you beat the Nets, you're probably not looking good for even 7. I mean, you have to lose out to get 7. You're probably going to be in a tie for 9th if you beat the Nets.
Oh, my gosh. A tie for 9th? If we beat them, yeah. So we have the Nets 1 more game, and then
tie for 8th and 9th. Sorry, tie for 8th and 9th. Tied with the Knicks.
Okay, so more than likely, there's a good chance we could finish 7. Will we be tied for 7? Let's say we lose out. We got 2 more games at the Nets and then the Pistons. Assuming we lose those 2, are we likely to have 7?
If you lose both, you have 7th guaranteed outright to yourself.
They have to lose those. Yep. And this
one's against Brooklyn. Brooklyn is tied with you now.
Right.
So if Brooklyn wins that game, now Brooklyn's out of you. If you win that game, you're ahead of Brooklyn, and you would need Brooklyn to win the next game to get tied with you. You can probably guess New York's not going to win another game, but who knows? They stuck another one against Miami just recently, so
yeah,
anything is possible. You know, the Kings, you probably don't think they're going to win another game, but stranger things have happened, I suppose. So, you know, maybe they can also get one.
Yeah,
but that's what it comes down to. You're just hoping for losses right now. The Kings do close against the Rockets. Maybe Chris Paul and James Harden are resting that final game, and the Kings can get a win there. I mean, they got nothing to play for. It'd be crazy not to rest them, to be honest.
Yes, agree 100%. They play at Spurs, and then they play the Rockets on Wednesday. I was kind of surprised to see Chris Paul and Harden play so much against Oklahoma City yesterday in Oklahoma's victory at Houston. So you never know. You never know. Unfortunately, Mike D'Antoni has kind of got a little bit of Tibbs in him, likes to overplay his guys. But you're right. That's our goal. Our hope that Sacramento somehow plays a Rockets team that's playing their third string and pulls that game out in Sacramento to finish up. But at Spurs doesn't look good, especially with the Spurs, still fighting for playoff positioning. Man, oh man, it would be a miracle if they could somehow get six. Watch Sacramento lose a game and the Bulls went out. But let's go to the West. The Pelicans. All right, so what do we have to do in order for the Pelicans to get that pick at a lottery positioning?
The Pelicans need to lose their final two games against the Clippers and against the Spurs. Now, if they lose to the Clippers, the Spurs and the Pelicans are probably playing for a playoff spot or their seeding lives.
Okay.
So there's a good chance that the Spurs. Now, the Spurs, I think, if they beat the Kings, they're probably locked in. So then it just becomes, do the Spurs, where do they want to get seeded? And if they win, they're probably not playing Golden State or Houston. If they lose, maybe they are. I mean, it's so hard to predict because you got like five teams within a game of each other,
right?
In the West. So, like, really, you assume the Spurs will win. It depends what all the other teams do with their next game, if they win or lose. So the game could mean something to them, or it might not mean anything meaningful to them. And that'll really determine, how hard they play. But if the Spurs want that game, then you figure you got a chance if this Clippers somehow beat the Pelicans. If the Pelicans win even one game, they're in.
Okay.
So, because the Timberwolves and the Nuggets play each other. So not both of those teams can win out. One of them has to get a loss. So, one of them would then finish below the Pelicans if they get a win.
Yeah, so it looks
like we'll see how it goes. You basically need Denver to win at least one game. You need the Timberwolves to win at least one game. You need the Pelicans to lose both. And then the Nuggets and the Timberwolves play each other. So you hope they both win their other game, so then it doesn't matter who wins their last game.
Yes.
And then you need the Pelicans to lose out. So it's pretty unlikely at this point. I mean, at this point, I think you're just hoping, in my mind, that the Pelicans lose at least one of those two games, so that pick ends up, because even one loss might drop the pick three or four slots.
Right, right. So that helps no matter what. One loss out of the last two will help positioning. But in a best-case scenario, then, the Bulls get 6-14. In a worst-case scenario, they end up with, is it nine? They could end up with nine.
Nine and like 24.
Oh, my gosh.
Worst-case scenario.
Okay. Well, we shall see. I mean, man, it's just unbelievable. In retrospect, this is a question I wanted to ask you. What would you have done differently if Bulls management, looking back on this season and where we're at now, is there anything that you think they made a huge mistake in doing? Anything you would have done differently?
Well, I would have never signed Mirotić in the offseason. I didn't like signing him. I always said, if you're going to sign him for 5 years at a low rate, and then you can maybe get some value out of him on a discount contract. But once you sign him to this high-rate contract for like a 1+1, like, you did it so you could try to flip him for a pick, but the only way you could flip him for a pick is if he added enough value that maybe he was hurting your tanking process, which is what happened. And I think even though I wouldn't have predicted that Nico would have won the Bulls like 3 or 4 games this year, he probably did. He probably won the Bulls 3 or 4 games. And then actually trading him to the Pelicans probably got the Pelicans a win or two as well to hurt that pick. So
yeah, but they wouldn't have had the pick.
How that goes.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have had the pick if they didn't trade him, right? So
that's true. They wouldn't have the pick. I'm just saying, fair enough. But I think I wouldn't have signed him. When we got close to the deadline, I would have probably dumped Lopez and Holiday for like nothing. I don't know that actually made the real difference in whether they would have gotten wins or not, but I would have been more protective of doing that earlier. And probably would have gotten at least one or two more losses. I'm pretty certain I would have been a little bit more on the Sam Hinkie line with this deal. And we'd have been in top three position had I been running the franchise this year. Now, it is what it is. I think the Bulls had a huge advantage in this tankathon because they started out so bad. Like, yeah. At 3-20 before everyone else was tanking, the Bulls had what should have been an insurmountable lead.
Yeah.
And then they just, like, they had this great stretch. And, you know, I definitely wouldn't have had Mirotić just because I thought there's nothing good that can come out of this contract that we signed him to. There's no way this works out well for us. And it really hasn't. So, yeah, we got this extra pick from the Pelicans, but we basically traded down from, like, 3 to, you know, 7 or 9 to get picks, I don't know, probably 21.
Yeah, but in retrospect,
like, it's not a great trade.
I disagree a lot with your assessment here. Everything would have been perfect if they would have just shut down Markkanen. Markkanen is the reason they won those games.
Shut him down. That's
what's
so
that?
Stupid. Oh, let's just shut down. Shut,
if they would have shut him down 2 weeks ago,
guy.
Doug, you just said they won the 3-game winning streak. If they would have shut him down, they probably would have lost all 3, and we'd be having 4. I mean,
they were warned by the NBA.
Doesn't matter.
2 weeks ago, not to rest healthy guys.
Tell the NBA to pound sand. All you had to do is tell the NBA, hey, Lauri Markkanen's played almost continually for a year. He played all summer in the summer league. He represented Finland. All they had to do was 2 weeks ago say, we're shutting him down for the season. That's it. It's not worth the risk in the last 2 weeks for him to get hurt with a catastrophic injury.
He's a healthy guy. You're just warned by the NBA. Play your healthy guy.
Well, that's fine. Let the NBA freak out.
He's a healthy guy.
Doug, they just sat him yesterday. He's healthy.
And
what's the difference?
And then when they freak out.
Let him freak out.
Maybe take your draft pick away.
That wouldn't happen. They just sat him down and he's perfectly healthy. What's the difference between doing it 2 weeks ago and 1 week and yesterday?
I think it's the amount of games. It's just the amount of games. Like the NBA does not seem to care if you rest a guy here or there for whatever reason. But if you rest them and just say, I'm prematurely shutting down someone for the length of the season who's one of my best players who's healthy, and they just warned you, like, 2 weeks before that not to do that. I'm just saying, I would have been an issue.
Maybe, but Atlanta just did it with 2 of their young players. I think you can make an argument to the NBA that they wanted to rest Lauri Markkanen after a long period of basketball. And then you would have had potentially the 4th pick and the number 1. Turning Nico into a number 1 is a miracle. Is an absolute miracle. And that pick, you know, true, it could be as low as 24. If it ends up being a top 15 pick in this draft, it's one of the greatest trades in Bulls history.
Even if you rested Lowry and you lost those 3 other games. I don't know if you lose all 3, but let's just say you do, for the sake of argument. If you also didn't sign Mirotić, then you'd be the worst team in the NBA. And now you still got that pick for Nico for trading down from 1 to 4, which is still a terrible trade. Actually, an even worse trade than trading from 4 to 7. So either way, I mean, and I know everyone complains about the 3-game win streak and Bulls fans are all going nuts. Go look at the records of all the other terrible teams. They're all like in the same, like, last 15, 20 games. They're all basically the same as the Bulls.
Yeah.
Like, you just win some games.
Yeah.
You just win some games. Like, it's going to happen. You're just not going to be that bad. Like, even your end-of-bench guys are going to go off a night here or there. Like, every other team, except for, I think, Phoenix, is, like, won as many games as the Bulls, like, in the last 10 when I looked.
Yeah, and even Phoenix had a...
So, I mean, it just happens.
Yeah,
you know, Phoenix almost had a win in Houston. You're playing Brooklyn twice. You know, like, you're gonna get to... I don't know what the hell is Washington. I mean, in our boarded podcast, we joked that they clearly came into Chicago, just got really drunk, and couldn't handle a day game.
Yeah.
And just didn't show up at all.
It was an embarrassment. Yeah, but I mean,
you can't do anything about that. You just can't do anything about that. You can't lose them all. And I think that, like I said, just look at all the other bad teams. It's pretty similar. You know, so even though I would have done a couple of things differently, it is what it is. You know, you got to hope now that they lose these last 2 and you get 7th. Look forward. Hope for that.
Amen. Bobby Portis, I think he's had a really solid year. Let's talk about his contract situation going forward, though. What do you, first of all, get your opinion on Bobby Portis and his season. And going forward, I mean, how much would you pay Bobby Portis? Do you want, what do you think would be a fair contract for him? And not only that, do you want him a part of the future?
Well, you're not going to pay him this offseason. I know he's eligible for an extension. They're not going to come to an agreement. Because Portis is going to look at himself and say, look how much upside I have. And the Bulls are going to look at him and say, this is what you've proven. I'm not going to pay you for your upside because I can wait another year and see if you actually need it or not. And so that's clearly going to happen, right? There's not going to be any talks this year. So, well, they'll talk, but they won't agree to anything. It's like pretty much no one agrees to a contract in this third-year extension period unless they're a max guy. And, I mean, we know Portis, at least at this point, is not a max guy. Who knows? Maybe he blows up next year. I'm not counting on it, but who knows? Right now, I look at Bobby Portis, and I think he's probably someone who's going to command in the above mid-level exception range for sure, which is now at $8 million, and, you know, below max for sure. He's in that, like, range of guys that always ends up with a contract you don't like. You know, he's going to be like the Drew Gooden of the world. You know, it's kind of the guy I think of when I think of Bobby Portis is Drew Gooden. This guy has got like a pretty diverse offensive skill set, you know, a pretty terrible defender, and, you know, kind of a decent rebounder. Doesn't really move the needle, though, in terms of like getting you wins, but kind of looks like he does because he goes off scoring every once in a while. But his overall metrics are still only like, you know, pretty decent, not amazing. So I think he's probably in that range of like $13 to $15 million a year. Is probably where you're going to see him go. And it's going to be one of those tricky negotiations, and it's going to depend a lot on how much money is out there when he's a free agent. You know, if there's a lot of teams that have money, then he could easily get a really good deal just because there's not so many great players. But if there's not a lot of money out there, he's someone who could get kind of hurt by that. So I think it's going to be a challenging negotiation, but it'll just pass for another year. We're not going to deal with it this offseason.
So, yeah, I think Bobby. Well, I'm much higher on him than you are. I think he's had a rock solid year. I don't think he's a starter. I think he's a really nice piece coming off the bench. I think he, you know, in any other year could have had some potential discussion for Sixth Man of the Year award. He played so well at certain points, but you know, I think he's a good shooter. I think he's hopefully going to get better at that and continue to improve as a 3-point shooter. That's a big part of his game to me that needs to develop because that's what he. If you can bring out who's ever guarding him and be able to hit that three quasi-consistently, that's a huge plus. Because he's not a good rim defender. I don't think he's a good defender at all. And, you know, that's his fault. He doesn't really have great athleticism. But on the plus side, you know, I remember Tim Gallagher, basketball historian, had a comp on him at Robert Horry. And at first I said, no way. I'm starting to see it a little bit more now. I think if he continues to improve shooting-wise, Bobby Portis will be a valuable bench asset. And that's what you expect at number 22 in the draft. Actually, you don't even expect that at 22. He's the best 22nd pick in the last 6 years. Look it up. Jared Allen also.
Who cares? The best 22nd pick is like the kissing your sister award of the draft.
No, but I'm saying it was a good pick.
It's like hey, well, you know, Jimmy Butler was picked way after 22nd. So should we say, I mean, like you can get better players just because not one exact guy landed on 22 and was good. That doesn't mean anything. You look at the range. And it's fine. Either way, I mean, I agree with your overall point. Bobby Portis was an outstanding pick for his range.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Very valuable player. Not disagreeing with you there. I don't know why you dislike my comparison of Drew Gooden so much.
I can't stand Drew Gooden.
I have a hard time seeing Robert Horry just because Robert Horry was way more athletic. I mean, he was almost more of a small forward earlier in his career than a power forward. And Portis is really like a forward center, which is, you know, more like, you know, Carlos Boozer or Drew Gooden, like those types of guys. Definitely players with a little more range than those guys because they didn't have 3-point shots. And, you know, but modern NBA, everyone has a 3-point shot now. I don't know. You say you like him so much more than me. How much do you think he's going to get paid if I threw down $13 to $15 million a year?
Hey, 18 to 12. I'd say, no, not 18. 8 to 12. I think he'll get somewhere in that range if he keeps on performing at the current rate. I can't stand Drew Gooden. Drew Gooden to me, first of all, Drew Gooden didn't have a jump shot anywhere near as good as Portis. He couldn't hit outside 8 feet, and Drew Gooden was a bum.
Drew Gooden had a pretty good jump shot.
Drew Gooden sucked. Drew Gooden was one of the worst, most overrated, biggest busts of a draft pick. The only reason he got picked so high is because he went to Kansas. It's continually overrated college. Drew Gooden was fourth. He was like a top five pick.
Agreed. But I'm saying, if he was picked 22nd, you'd be happy with him.
Yeah, if Drew Gooden was picked 22nd, maybe. Not really, though. I thought he sucked. Yeah. I thought he was terrible. Like, I don't. That's the only reason I don't like it. You're higher on Drew Gooden. I'm higher on Bobby Portis.
Well, tomato, whatever. Tomato. I do, and I'm not trying to make him exact comparison. I'm just saying, he's a similar guy, like, to me when I watched Drew Gooden play. He was a guy who could rebound. He was a guy who could go on really good scoring binges at times, but was not a great consistent scorer. And so far, that's kind of the guy Bobby Portis is to me. And he's a bad defender. Portis is a bad defender. Similar, both kind of like power forward centers, but more power forward-ish. You know, those are sort of the similarities, I'd say. But it's funny, you say you're so high on Bobby Portis, and I'm suggesting we pay him like $5 million more than you. So apparently, you being high in a guy means he's worth a mid-level exception.
What did you say? You think he? So, but what would you pay him? What do you think a fair dollar amount is for Bobby Portis?
I said I think he'll get like $13 to $15 million.
Yeah, but what would you think he's worth? What would you pay him?
It's hard to say in the NBA. You're worth whatever someone will pay you. So if he gets $13 to $15 million, that's what he's worth.
Yeah.
I mean, all the contracts in the NBA are terrible if they're between the mid-level exception and the max deal. Right? Like, all those guys in the middle are pretty much bad contracts.
Yeah.
Like, you find a guy making $15 million a year who's, like, on a good deal. It's like 1 in 20 of them. You know, I mean, it's so rare.
That's a good point. Reggie Jackson, all those bums. Yeah. There's a lot of guys like that that just take up $17, $18 million that just... they're not max guys, and they take up a huge, you know, portion of your cap.
And it's just the structure of the NBA. The structure of the NBA is such that you need to have max guys and then overachievers who make less money. That's how you put together a good team. That's the structure of the NBA. All their contracts are kind of like lousy contracts. So it's poor that it's structured that way, but that is what it is. And that's sort of a problem for the Bulls because they may not really have any max guys on this roster. They may have a lot of guys that end up in that like $15 million range, like Dunn, Portis, Levine, Markkanen, even though I know everyone's going to hate to hear it. All those guys could end up.
You're wrong.
Now, Lowry could easily be a max guy.
Yeah,
he definitely.
I guarantee you,
a lot of potential could happen. But I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he ended up in that middle range. There's been a lot of guys who had nice rookie years, and Lowry's rookie year is not anything that's like just unbelievable. Like if you have this type of rookie season, you're a can't miss now. I like him. I think he's a really good prospect. I'm excited about his future. But it wouldn't shock me if he ended up being just a good player and not a great player.
I know we differ on him quite a bit. I think his last month has been quietly fantastic. He's got at least five games of 20-plus in 23 minutes, and he's just becoming much more efficient. And it all goes around to him hitting the three more consistently. You know, I think he's at 36% for the season. Almost every rookie improves on that, and he needs to. That's one area for the Bulls. I think the best team in the league is Golden State at 39. The worst team is 33, which are the Suns. So we're talking 6 percentage points from best to worst. So if you can raise it 2 percentage points, that's a significant increase. You know, you're going from good to great. So I want him to be around between 38 and 40. The Bulls need that to happen, and I think he's trending towards that lately. So I wanted to see that.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, I mean, we'll see. It definitely makes a difference. I think it was really nice to see Lowry without Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine in there. Lowry was like the number one option. As much as maybe it did get us a couple wins we might not have had otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to see that. I think that really contributed to his good play. Let him get a chance to be the man. I think that was kind of nice to see. I guess in retrospect, you wish you got to see that without some wins, but I think that was something valuable. That the Bulls need to take away is they do need to figure out how all these guys who theoretically have complementary talents can actually complement each other.
Yes.
Because so far on the court, they haven't. I mean, it seems like it'd be straightforward, right? Like Chris Dunn is going to be your penetrating guard. Lowry's going to be the pick setter. Zach LaVine can be, you know, the guy somewhere else in the corner, on the wing, wherever, to catch a kick out, but then also to be a secondary guy who can create action. You know, he doesn't just be a 3-and-D guy. He then can become the facilitator and the creator if the initial action doesn't generate something, which is pretty common, right? You usually swing the ball between two or three guys, and you want everyone to be able to create something off the bounce if they don't have the shot right there. So Levine's got that going for him. So, like, you have all this stuff going on, and you can provide multiple looks, and everyone kind of has a nice niche and should be able to fill it out. But, like, when we saw them play together, like, none of that happened at all.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they only had 12 games together, you know, and obviously LaVine was coming back from the ACL surgery. But, you know, that is disturbing that they really, I thought, all played their worst of the season together. With the exception of two games, I think they played really well the first or second game that LaVine was back. But it started to, you know, go into a direction of LaVine being the alpha. And I really think for the long-term success of the Chicago Bulls, that needs a change. LaVine needs to be the second option. Markkanen needs to be number one. And Dunn needs to be a facilitator and just a defensive first guy. You know, a lot depends on who they draft. I think if they get a three, it is another question I got for you. Let's assume they draft a player who I really like in Mikal Bridges, and they end up at 8 or 9 and they take Mikal Bridges, who is, you know, 6'7", 7'2 wingspan. Every scout considers him to be a plus defensively. I think he's going to be a fantastic defensive player. I love his improvement in the three-point shot, so he obviously has a good work ethic. And you drop him in the starter at the three. Now you have Dunn, LaVine at the two, Bridges at the three, Markkanen at the four, and Lopez next year at the five. And your bench, you have Portis, Holiday, and Valentine, and whoever else you want to bring on board, or whoever else is left there. Is that team, thinking about that team, let's say that's what they go in a direction of, is a three. Is that team good enough to win 44 to 47 games?
It might be a little high for me. I'm setting my aim around like 40 to 42.
Okay.
Is what I think they'll get next year. But I think it's in the ballpark. It's not like it would be in the high end. I wouldn't put money on it.
Yeah.
But it's like if they won 44 games, I wouldn't be like, well, never saw that coming. I mean, the path that it could happen is right there, right? You know, you could see how it could all come together that could happen. But at the same time, you can also easily see how it could not. You know, even Chris Dunn, I mean, missed like half this year, you know, with legit injuries, basically. LaVine, you still got to worry about his knee, about how he's going to come back. You know, it seemed like the knee tendonitis thing, maybe there was like some were being ultra cautious and we want to lose anyway, so we're keeping him out. But, I mean, you still don't want to hear about knee problems on a dude who had an ACL surgery.
Right.
Lowry had back problems like three times during the year. You know, there's plenty of reasons to be nervous about this team. Like we just talked about, they didn't really ever play great together, even though we feel like they should, but they never did. I agree, not much time together. But even if you just put them in pairs they never played great together. Like, even forgetting all three of them. I mean, even like two of them at the same time.
I think Dunn and Lowry played decent.
Figure it out that much.
At some point in the season.
Dunn and Lowry, I give it to you.
Yeah, I thought they do.
LaVine and no one. LaVine so far has been a train wreck. And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with his contract, because anything they give him is based purely on, like, just blind hope and just watching how athletic he is and looking at his form and saying, I can see where this will go.
Yeah.
Because it certainly was not proven on the court. His attitude doesn't seem right. Not, like, in a jerkish kind of way, like, oh, this guy's a prima donna or he's like, a bad apple. But, like, he's definitely, like, I'm going to take all these shots. He's not a guy who has like a lot of vision in the way he's playing the game. He's not playing in the role you want him to play, or maybe that is the role they told him to play. But if so, that's a bad coaching job. And who knows? Maybe they're coaching badly because they want to lose. I mean, there's so many weird things this season that it's hard to even like try and put all of those pieces together. Like, it's not even crazy to think that Hoiberg just told LaVine, just go out there and shoot as many times as you can and just try and get your shot back. And we don't care what the results are.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even difficult to imagine that might have actually been a conversation. So we'll have to see what happens next year. I mean, the goals should be different next year. And I guess to me that brings up, what do you think of Fred Hoiberg? I know it wasn't on the topic list. Some people are saying he overachieved because the Bulls did this or that. I don't know. What do you think of Fred Hoiberg this year?
I think he's done. Overall, I mean, this has been a very, very difficult situation to be put in, where you're really being asked and forced to lose and limit players that obviously have a major impact in winning. They had a great run there with, you know, questionable talent and a lot of, I mean, Doug, it's never happened before in NBA history that a player on your team knocked out the other one. And to have to go through that situation and still keep it together, he deserves kudos for that. And the Bulls won a significant amount of games when Nico came back, and not only him, but Dunn and everyone else that was hurt. I really felt like he did a good job in the first half of the season. I don't think you can judge any coach on the second half. I mean, this is an absolute insanity. You know, you're sitting two of your best players. You're sitting, you know, you're missing four or five guys. I think he's done a good job overall this year. He's definitely turned around my opinion on him that I don't think he's going to be the guy who's going to take us to the promised land, but I'm fine with him coming back next year. What about you?
Well, Well, for next year, sure. And even the year after that. Would you give him an extension?
No. No way. No way. In fact, if the Bulls don't win 46.
Let's say the Bulls win. Okay. I'm shushing you now.
Okay.
Just say the Bulls win 45 games next year. Would you consider giving Hoiberg an extension?
So then he would be going into the last year of his contract in the next year?
Yeah, he'd be going into his last year, and you don't want to bring him back as a lame duck, they always say. I would just do that. I don't know why people say that. Bring him back as a lame duck. Who cares?
I'd give him...
Anyway, would you consider an extension at 45 wins?
Yes. If he wins 45 next year, I'd give him a one-year extension on top of the year he's already promised.
No one's going to sign a one-year extension. It's got to be at least 2 years.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm saying next year's year four, and then you just go and tell him, listen, we're going to add another year on your contract for, you know, whatever. He's not going to say that?
He wants 2 years. He demands 2 years.
All right, two years then. Go ahead. I mean, if he wins 45 games next year, he deserves an extension.
All right. So you think they're going to win 44 to 47 games?
Yes.
You don't think Hoiberg deserves an extension. But if they win 45, he does deserve an extension. So I'm just sensing some contradiction in the force.
Well, I'm just saying I don't give him an extension if he ends up less than 44, 45 wins. I'd still, if it's between 40 and 44, I'd bring him back for the last year. I don't care about the lame duck status. There's guys that still coach in that situation. But, you know, you just wait to see how he does the following year. If he ends up with 30 or 40 or below, though, next year, and the team takes a step back, he should be fired. I think the team next year is going to have enough talent to. And anybody who looks at the East, how could you not look at the East and say, man, the Bulls are in a better situation going forward than almost, I think you could argue, almost any team but Boston and Philadelphia. And you can, even,
how great is Boston's situation right now? You got no idea what's going to happen with Gordon Hayward.
Right.
Kyrie Irving just had two knee surgeries. And granted, one of them was just to remove hardware in his knee that was infected. So it doesn't seem like a bad knee surgery compared to other knee surgeries. But still, it always scares me.
Yes.
When I hear knee surgery. So even then, it's like Boston to me is a little bit of an unknown. Like you got to really see Kyrie Irving come back and prove it, stay healthy.
Well, that's
before you could feel good about that team.
I agree 100%. That's the argument I had with Australia Mark, is that I do feel next year Boston's going to be better than us. But in 2020 and 2021, they have like, if they re-sign Irving, assuming they re-sign him, he's going to require max money. You're going to have like 100 plus, 100 million to Hayward, Horford, and Irving. Like, how are you going to build a roster around those three? Like, I just don't think in 2020, and there's a lot of question marks.
Well,
how's Hayward going to look?
You'll pay money for 1 year, then Horford will be off the book.
Yes, but Horford in 2020 is not going to be great. He's just not.
I know. That's fine. But that's only a one-year problem. That's not like, and you're saying, well, in 2020, we're going to be better than someone. I mean, a couple of years away, and who cares? You know, it's really interesting whether you're going to be better a little earlier than that, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, could you, if I told you, tell me the teams next year that are definitely going to be better than the Bulls. Definitely. I would say it's Philadelphia and Boston. And then after that, I'm like...
Toronto,
yes. Toronto. Are the Wizards, after what I saw a week ago, definitely better than the Bulls? Yeah, if John Wall's healthy. When's John Wall been healthy? He was like a couple years ago, you know, and he played between 78 and 82 games. That's a big if. And the rest of the team is a dog team. They got bad contracts up and down that roster. I don't think it's guaranteed they're going to be better.
If you assume health, I think the Bulls could still easily finish 8th, 9th, 10th. You know, a lot of the teams out of you are going to, some team is going to have injuries. And it could easily be the Bulls. We're carrying as much injury risk as anyone.
Yeah, but the Bulls had a ton of injuries this year, Doug.
Yeah.
A ton. In fact, I think they had more than any other
team.
A
lot. Guys who get injured a lot. Like having injury risk this year means you probably have more next year, too.
All right. I'm just going to say, just give me a yes or no. All right. I'm going to name a team. These are the teams ahead of the Bulls. Tell me, are the Bulls going to be better than that team? Yes or no next year, okay? The Nets.
Sure. That was it?
The Nets.
The Nets? Yes, those are better. Bulls are better.
Knicks.
Yes.
Hornets.
Yes.
Pistons.
Yes.
Wizards.
No.
All right. Maybe I might buy that one. Bucks.
Bucks? No.
I think it's entirely possible. Heat. Like, who are the Bucks going to add? I mean, who are they? What are they going to do?
They don't need to add anyone. They're just, the Bulls aren't going to catch him.
They're a 43-win team.
They got a future MVP type on their team. He's just going to just steamroll people in here.
Yeah, just like Jimmy Butler did for us. They're in the same situation. Heat.
Except Giannis is much better.
Heat. I agree. Heat.
I say yes.
Pacers.
It's another close one, but I'll say yes. I don't know. I don't believe in the Pacers.
Cavs.
Boy, happens with LeBron.
That's right. That's right. So let's assume two versions.
It all comes down to what happens with LeBron.
If he leaves,
I'm
going to
bet
no.
LeBron leaves. I'm going to say yes.
Okay, great. Right. Yeah, I mean, yes, exactly. 76ers, all right. No.
No.
Celtics, probably no. And Raptors, no.
No.
There's like four teams, I'd say, that are, you could probably make the argument, maybe five, six, are definitively going to be better than the Bulls.
And I think, there's only like 15 in the conference, so if six are definitively better, and you got like four, you can make the
argument. Let's say four.
That gives you a range of like, you know.
Let's say four. And they're going to be better than the Magic, and they're going to be better than the Hawks. I mean, I'm excited about this team because the East sucks. And the Raptors, you know, they're not young. You know, their best players are.
Yeah, they're not going to be around. You don't feel like the Raptors will be around in 2 years.
Yeah, by the time we're ready to win titles, I don't think the Raptors are going to be somebody we're going to be, you know, going to bed.
By the time you're ready to win titles, it doesn't matter if the Raptors are around or not.
Exactly.
Enough to win a title, the Raptors aren't going to be the team that stops you. Right?
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
There's no one in the East right now that would stop you from winning a title. I mean, if you had legitimate title-winning talent, you would steamroll the East. And there's no team up-and-coming in the East that looks like they would
stop you.
Well, the Sixers. If you had title-winning talent of making it to the finals, like every year, like LeBron did.
All right, here's one more question I want to ask you before we wrap it up. It's a one in a trillion chance. But let's say LeBron does, you know, he has the opt out and he signs, oh my gosh, with the Chicago Bulls. And you start the season next year with Dunn, LaVine, LeBron at the three, Markkanen and Lopez. Is that team the best team in the East?
Yeah.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah.
Well, any team LeBron goes to.
That's all we got to do.
I mean, just imagine LeBron's team now without LeBron on it. I guess actually, since LeBron's not on the best team in the East now, it isn't true that he could go anywhere and be the best team in the East. But then the Bulls, he would be. He would go to the 76ers before the Bulls.
Do you think the Bulls, though, the team right now, outside of LeBron, the Cavs outside of LeBron, do you think the Bulls are better than that team?
Yeah, for sure.
I agree. And I think there's people out there that would say no, but I think the Cavs are just.
Who else is on that team? Like, really?
Korver, exactly. Korver, I mean, it's such a joke. It really is.
Kevin Love.
I mean, Kevin Love definitely is probably, you know, better than
George anybody. Hill. I mean, it's got a bunch of guys. I mean, it's not much of a team without LeBron.
In a way, if you think about it, Kevin Love, Markkanen's probably a younger version of Kevin Love. And Dunn's probably a younger version of George Hill. Like, they're kind of better, younger versions are on the up and swing than those two guys. Anyhow, last question. Well, let's get one more question in. Is that right? You got time? The two most disappointing Bulls. Hold on a second. Two most disappointing Bulls this year, and the two that surprise you in a positive way the most.
Positive, probably, Bobby Portis and Cameron Payne. And most disappointing, Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen.
Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen. Wait.
I just wanted to take your head with it.
Wait, what are you talking about? Wait, one more time. Repeat that. One more time.
No. I said Lauri and Dunn were my two most disappointing. In reality, I don't know that anyone's disappointed me this year. I think I've actually liked pretty much all the players. I mean, maybe Felicio is the one guy, clearly, who's disappointing.
Yeah, he sucked.
I didn't have such super high hopes for him, but still, he's probably the one guy who's disappointed. I don't know that anyone else on the roster has disappointed me. Maybe Jaren Grant might be the other guy I'd pick, but I don't think Grant has done anything so bad that I'm disappointed either. And same for upside guys, it's like almost everyone. I mean, really, I've been impressed with Lowry, vastly exceeded my expectations. I guess now I think about it, Zach LaVine would be on my most disappointing list. So I look Felicio and LaVine for disappointing, even though I didn't have super high expectations for either. And I'll go with Lowry and Dunn for exceeding expectations, with a shout out to Bobby Portis as well, who did very good.
I agree wholeheartedly. My two most surprising positives have been Markkanen and Dunn. And my two most disappointing are LaVine and Felicio. I expected LaVine. I'm happy he looks healthy, but he didn't perform well. I expect him to play better. And in general, everyone else I did like, and Felicio sucked to high heaven. So I didn't have any expectations for Grant. I would have added him. I expected him to suck, and he just fulfilled the expectations. All right, my man, let's pull this bus in. Another great ride, and we'll be back next weekend to see where we're at.
Finally know where we pick.
Finally. So, and that will be a great discussion, and we'll start looking at the draft going forward. So until then, thank you for listening to Big Red Bus. All the best to you, my brother.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
Have a good one, man.